faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for once again tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. There's the salute from Paul. So, today's modern worship right here on 91.5 FM. And we are thankful that you have chosen to spend the next half hour with us right here on the Refresh radio program as we are talking about the Word of God. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 61 today, and we're kind of working through a portion of that chapter. We're not going to go all the way through that passage, but we will be working, I think, all the way up through verse number 9 is where we're going to stop when we get there. Whether that's today or tomorrow, it shouldn't be any longer than that. But hey, how's it going? I hope you're having a good day. And if not, I pray that the Word of God that you hear over the next half hour will change your mindset. I was telling our congregation here a few weeks ago about a sermon that I heard years ago, all the way back when I was in college. And we had chapel in our college. I went to 3 different colleges. 2 of them were Christian colleges. The other one allowed me to work nonstop. I'd get up, throw papers. I'd go to work full time. And then I would go to night school. So that particular school did not have chapel, but it did allow me to make some money, for which I was very thankful. But I was going through a season in my life. I was in this first Christian college, and it was kind of expensive, and was driving back and forth from home. And I told God, I said, God, I'm not asking you for much. I'm just asking you for enough for me to have my needs met and to be able to pay my bills. That was literally my prayer. And I went to chapel, and I can still remember the guest speaker that was there, and he said, some of you are praying like this. God, I'm not asking you for much. I'm just asking you enough to help meet my needs and to pay my bills. And I'm all excited. He hits a pause there, and I was like, God has heard my prayer. And he said, that is the most selfish prayer that I have ever heard in my life. He said, God doesn't want just to meet your needs. He wants to bless you and make you a blessing throughout your community and around the world. And it shifted my mindset there. You know, through the years, I've gone through a manual transmission, you know, where I go to one stage and then all of a sudden I have another breakthrough, and to the point where, look, I believe that God will take care of his children. I believe that if you are faithful, God is going to bless you with even greater responsibility and privileges, because he knows that you are going to be faithful. If you've been faithful with little, you're going to be faithful with much. If you're not faithful with little, you're not going to be faithful with much. And so I tell you that story today because I believe that today has the potential of changing a mindset that you might have. So let's go back to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers who stand and feed your flocks, strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make them an everlasting covenant. The descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. So the central part of Isaiah 61 that we are focusing on at this point in time is, for I, the Lord, love justice. So when we are talking about biblical justice, you need to understand that it is something that God is passionate about. We're going to see that biblical justice is not just justice for us, but it is justice for God. It is treating God the way that he deserves. Everything that we talked about in verses 1 through 3 thus far, we concluded with the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness on yesterday's broadcast. But it says that there's a purpose for all of that transformation, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So God says, I want to work in you. I want to cause you to grow like you've never grown before, grow in righteousness, and that people will know that I have planted you, that I, God, may be glorified. So I'm not sure if I had mentioned this on the radio or not, but I think I may have. But, you know, several weeks ago we were trying to figure out, for about a year we had been planning on making a housing change out of a family necessity, not out of just being unsettled. And around the middle of June, the family member, that dynamic changed. And so instead of coming to live with us, the family member is going to stay where they are at. And then my wife had an appointment, and I was trying, okay, God, the plan for a year has been to sell the house. What's the plan now? What's the plan now? Because I felt a little frustrated not knowing if it was to the left or if it was to the right. I did, you know, whichever one God chose. And he told me, he said, well, if you feel stuck, which is how I'd worded that prayer, he said, then you are going to feel frustrated. But when you are ready to accept that I've planted you here, then you can choose to abide, and then you can be fruitful. And when I read Isaiah 61:3, the very last portion of it, I realize that it is God's justice to work in your life and my life in such a manner that he and he alone is glorified. That is our ultimate goal, to bring glory to Jesus. The Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. Jesus points people to the Father, that the Father may be glorified. Your purpose is also, so it is to glorify God as part of God's justice, but in verse 4 we see that our purpose is also part of God's justice. It says that those people that God works in, that they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. It goes on and says, but you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. So what I want you to see here is that your purpose is part of God's justice system. Every single person listening to the sound of my voice, not listening to the sound of my voice, you were created by God on purpose for a divine purpose. You were created by God on purpose for a divine purpose. You say, well, you don't know my background. I know God. God is the giver of life. God is the one who causes people to come into existence. We have a purpose. It says that we were created for a purpose from before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, yes, but we also were created with a purpose, and that purpose was in the mind of God, the heart of God, long before creation ever came into existence. So the fact that you are alive and in Brevard County today is not a cosmic coincidence. It is part of God's strategic plan. So he has a purpose for you. Now, my purpose falls very much in line with Isaiah chapter 61. Back when I was in my first position of ministry, I was a youth pastor. I got sent to a discipleship camp. It was my fifth week of camp in a row. I had been there for 4 weeks as a counselor, and the pastor sent me just not as a counselor that week, just to spend some time with God. And we, as part of one of the exercises that day, we were supposed to grab our Bibles, and we were supposed to go spend some time with God, 2 hours, and we weren't supposed to talk to anyone. And so I remember asking God, God, is ministry always going to be this hard? And he said, no. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. And then he said, it gets harder. And I found that to be true, by the way. Every stage that you go is a faith-building stage. In order for your faith to be built, you face bigger and bigger challenges. And really, during that time frame, that was all that I heard in the entire 2 hours. And so I started walking across the softball fields that had been abused for 4 weeks with high schoolers and middle schoolers and grade schoolers. And I saw a piece of garbage that was there on the softball field. And God said, pick up the piece of garbage. And after I picked that up, he said, pick this piece up and pick this piece up. And by the time that I reached the dormitory, I had accumulated so much trash, so much garbage that had just been thrown on the field. You wouldn't have noticed it if you were just looking at it superficially. But when you were actually walking the path, you saw all this stuff, and I had to use my shirt. I had to fold up the bottom of my shirt just to contain it all. And as I got to the dormitory, God spoke to me, and he said, I'm calling you to pick up things that others have discarded as if they had no value, but I know their value, and I want to restore them. And so restoring value, restoring and rebuilding ruins and raising up desolate places, that repairing things that have been broken, that has been my life's calling, whether that was taking a job that no one else wanted, whether it was pastoring Merit Assembly of God. That's what I have done my entire life, is restore value. I will tell you that new life is easier to come by than resurrection life. If you don't believe me, you check the newspapers and see how many babies were born around the world yesterday, and check and see how many resurrections there were. It's a dramatically smaller number of resurrections that take place. So God says, I'm going to give you a divine purpose. That's part of God's justice system. He looks at creation. Creation is groaning under the sinful mandates of man, and creation didn't do anything to deserve it. The Bible says that creation is groaning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed in righteousness. You and I need to, and so we've got divine purpose. Our purpose is part of God's justice system. So if you say that you are not a fan of injustice, then you've got to say, okay, I'm ready to play my part in God's justice system. It would be unjust to God for me to live as if I have no purpose. So my wife was telling me about a conversation that she had had with some young ladies years and years and years ago. And she was talking, well, what do you think that God wants you to do with your life? And they said, oh, I don't think he wants to do anything with me. I think I'll probably just end up being a single mom like everybody else in my family. And it's like, no, that is not your purpose. Your purpose is to be a light. Your purpose is to be an instrument of righteousness, not of unrighteousness. And so I wherever you fit in the spectrum of ministry, not all ministry, actually very little of ministry is pastoring a church. You would not believe all of the different things that I get to do. You don't see the administration aspect. You don't see the networking. You might not see the relationship building. You may not see who mows the grass, who edges the yard. You might not see who cleans the church. You might not see who pays the bills or makes the... But somebody does all of that. And somewhere in this community, God is raising up evangelists who will take the good news of Jesus Christ where it's never gone before. I've got a person that I know, and he tells a story from before I met him about the pastor was wanting to start a ministry. And this brother felt sympathy for the pastor and saying, there is no one that is going to go to that meeting. He's going to go. He's planned this meeting. He's going to go to this meeting. He's going to be there all by himself. So I'm going to go and be there just to be an encouragement to the pastor. This person had been part of church leadership, pastored churches, extremely gifted individual, musically as well, just got a real heart for Jesus, very intellectual, very, very, very bright. And he went to that meeting, and what he discovered in that meeting was the passion of ministry that he had always looked for was waiting for him. He went to be an encouragement, and he found his divine purpose. That doesn't mean that all of those other things weren't part of leading him to where he got to. I've done a lot of things in my life that I had to do to survive a season, but turned out that those things that I did to survive a season were part of God's placement, like me on a chessboard, to get me to where my divine purpose would be revealed and I could function in the Spirit of the Lord God. You have that place as well. You have that place as well. There are a lot. Listen, only about 15 or 20% of churches, of people in churches, actually do anything in the church. Believe me when I tell you, if not at Merit Assembly of God, if you're at your church, there's a job that needs to be done, and it could be that you have been created by God for that ministry, and you just have never discovered it yet because you haven't availed yourself of that opportunity. So it goes on here and says in verse number 6, the second part of verse number 6, you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. So this point that I want to share with you is this. God blessing you is part of God's justice system. This was the mindset between thinking that all you're doing was occupying a place in the pew, or whether you think that God's really not interested in your tangible needs. Both of those are mindsets that I am trying to shift today more into alignment with the Word of God. I believe that God wants to bless you. Okay? You say, well, how do you know that? God told Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Somewhere in that description, from you shall be a blessing to in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed, somewhere in there is you. And so he wants to bless you. Now I will tell you this, the first blessing of God is the blessing of repentance. You can be rich and miserable. Okay? So it's blessing doesn't necessarily mean money. But God does want to bless you. And I will tell you, God being for you more than compensates for any adverse circumstances or opposition that you may face from people. So God's blessing you is part of, for I the Lord love justice. Okay? It's not noble to be rich, it's not noble to be poor. You can be undignified, ungrateful, and a hateful human being, and be in every economic situation. I've known rich people that were some of the rudest people that ever walked the face of the earth, but I've met some poor people that were just as bound by the spirit of greed as any rich person was. Sometimes more so. And so I challenged our congregation several weeks ago. I said, I want to challenge you. I want you to give yourself permission to become stronger than you've ever been in the Lord. No one can prevent you from growing stronger in the Lord except you. Grow in His might. Grow in His provision. Grow up was another thing that word meant. It was out of 1 Chronicles chapter 11. And in the New King James Version, it says, and David went on to become great. A lot of people, you know, they say that people who survive traumatic events that others don't survive, that they end up sometimes experiencing survivor's guilt. Well, there are a lot of believers who look around and see others that are not being blessed, and sometimes they feel guilty about being blessed. I want to ask you to consider giving yourself permission to be blessed by God so that you can be a blessing and bring glory to God. Okay? Now, it takes a mindset shift. I haven't played much in the past several years, but I like to play golf. And I play against my brother, hardly ever beat him. Play against my dad. Now I beat him pretty regularly. But occasionally he still beats me, believe it or not. But there was a time when I was a better golfer than he was, but he was still beating me. And it finally took a revelation to me that I was self-sabotaging myself because I felt bad that I was beating him. And then I'd end up losing by a shot or two shots. And then I was mad because I lost. And I had to change my mindset and say, you know what? I'm not out here to beat him as much as I am to enjoy myself. And so I'm going to give myself permission to play the best golf that I can, to play for my score, not to beat him. And if I beat him, I beat him. If I lose, I lose. And so every once in a while, I beat my brother. Every once in a while, I lose to my dad. But I'll still go out there and try and do better the next time. One more thing here in the last couple of minutes. It says, everlasting joy shall be theirs. It's in verse number 7. Part of God's justice system is your emotional health and well-being. Okay? Everlasting joy shall be theirs. If Jesus came into your life, because Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of Isaiah 61, then it should have made a difference in you, not just spiritually, but emotionally. You should be less angry and more jubilant. You should be more encouraging rather than constantly being discouraged yourself. Don't be a miserable Christian. I talk about Christians that go around many times and they look like they've been baptized in lemon juice. Don't be one of those. The kingdom of God is righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. And so, when I was 21, I turned 21, I went to my birthday party, and I didn't smile, I didn't laugh. And they said, what's the matter? You're not having a good time? It's your birthday. I said, well, I'm an adult now. I'm not supposed to have any fun. And they said, that's baloney. Who told you that? A lot of times people think that when you become a Christian, your life is over, you don't get to have any more fun. I'm here to tell you exactly the opposite is true. When you become a Christian, everlasting joy from heaven is part of God's justice system. He wants to provide it for you because that makes the gospel attractive. So many people experience no joy. Christians should be the beacons of joy in our community. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Hungry to know.